It's Friday morning, everybody. Welcome into the Friday Football Fiesta. The night in football kicked off last night. Philadelphia and Tampa Bay. The Buccaneers are 5-1. They win 28-22. Bad night for officiating calls that mar games. There was a late taunting call in that game against the Eagles, and the Buccaneers made a lot of people angry by running out the clock, and the game ends, and the Buccaneers are 5-1. And then you had Game 5 of the NLDS, an epic game. Finally, we got the best game of the series, and it delivered. Cody Bellinger delivered. Why were they throwing him sliders? But the game ends on a called check swing on an appeal to Gabe Morales down at first base, and the Dodgers move on, and the favorites to repeat will take on the Atlanta Braves. We have Game 1 of the ALCS tonight between Boston and Houston. In Houston, it is the Cora versus the Astros and the tarnishing of both of those franchises. Do people still care? We will get into that as we roll till 2. Coming up in the next hour, Brian Munson will join us. We'll get his thoughts on the last two weekends from the recruiting standpoint and what he thinks the commitment on the flipping of Gage Stenger from Kansas State to Nebraska means to this class and what happens moving forward. Plus, Brian Christofferson will stop by. We'll pick his brain on thoughts about the Minnesota game. Yes, the Minnesota game, the $5 bits of broken chair trophy game, which is for a good cause. If you ever got Nebraska and Minnesota to like embrace it, that trophy could take off. I mean, it's not the weirdest trophy of the weekend. The old brass spittoon is being played for between Indiana and Michigan State. The old brass spittoon. The Big Ten loves themselves some trophy games. They love themselves some trophies, and they love themselves some odd trophies. In this league, we play for an axe, we play for a chair, we play for a spittoon, and we play for a pig. And tomorrow, somebody will play for the $5 bits of broken chair. A trophy which Nebraska has been on the wrong end the last 2 years. So Brian Christofferson will join us coming up about 11:30. Brett Ciancia stops by, pick six previews. It is week 7 of the college football season. Again, it's not a great slate, but in a year where there has been some chaos, could we have a team in the top 10 fall? If there was a team in the top 10 that was guaranteed to lose, who would you take? Oklahoma against Tennessee, Cincinnati against UCF, or Michigan State against Indiana? In a game in which Michigan State has an unbeaten Michigan on the horizon, and you know the stakes that are in play there, so Brett will stop by at 12:30, and then Dirk Chatelain will join the party coming up at 1. Josh Odson, as we welcome you into the conversation, and good Friday morning to you. There's going to be a lot of talk about sloganeering, you know, row the boat. Nebraska doesn't have an official slogan, but that is something that happened in the offseason of Big Ten Media Days that appeared to has riled up Minnesota fans. But I think Fleck gets under the skin of Frost. It's kind of like a back and forth. Mm-hmm. And he would really get under the skin of Scott Frost if he goes to 4-1 against Nebraska and Nebraska drops to 1-4 in the conference. But what should the slogan be if Nebraska wins tomorrow?
Sink the boat.
Okay, that's on the board. We're going to put our creative hats together to come up with what should the slogan be if Nebraska wins? Because
damn the torpedoes.
There's a lot of trolling going on social media. Like, the social media people are really, really talented. And there's not really a lot of guardrails for them. So they are nice and, you know, they'll take their shots. But that's kind of the pettiness of college athletics. And you expect it. When you win, you get to do it. When you lose, expect to get it back at you. Now, some will keep it up. Others, like, you remember what Illinois did last year? They take it down. But I am all for the social media pettiness and the creativity. You know, Maryland, whenever they beat somebody, they're pretty creative. Now, I noticed that they have been creative on their own self when they've been losing of late. Like, they make fun of themselves. So, and Nebraska really has not gone there. But in this case, maybe they should. With a slogan, if Nebraska wins tomorrow in Minneapolis, what that slogan should be.
Yeah, they probably subscribe to the don't punch down theory, but
in this case, why not?
If Minnesota, they want to get petty, let's get petty.
Minnesota bugs Nebraska.
Yeah.
Now, Minnesota has punked Nebraska the last 2 years on the field, but Minnesota bugs Nebraska. And we've talked all week about Fleck and what he's done. And he has made Minnesota football relevant that you have to pay attention to him. I think they're in an interesting spot over the next four games because people are trying to figure out. And they could make a case if they win tomorrow, they're still within striking distance of Iowa. I mean, if Nebraska wins, Iowa wins, all of a sudden it's a 2.5-game lead for Iowa. And essentially, they're already in Indianapolis as a representative of the West Division. But Fleck, here's what I think I've narrowed it down to, Josh, about what drives, from the Nebraska standpoint, crazy. It gets under their skin. First and foremost, it should get under your skin that what he has been able to do to you the last 2 years. Now, he's 3-1 against Nebraska. The first one was when Riley was at the helm. Is I don't think an old school trying to be a new school head coach in Lincoln thinks that the program should be all about the head coach, that everything is branded around the head coach like it is at Minnesota. But he needed to do that when he walked in the door, and I don't know that he ever gets away from it. I think we could go a long way, and Minnesota football will always be row the boat / PJ Fleck. Instead of, hey, Minnesota football is about Tyler Johnson, you know, Antonio Winfield Jr., some of the other players that they've had since he has been there. But there's the other part of the coaching thing. He's different from all the other coaches in the West Division. His personality is different. He's not afraid to be him. You know, he doesn't. I don't think it bothers him that people don't like him outside of his own fan base. And hell, some of the people in his own fan base are not big fans of his. But I also think this. I think a lot of coaches that don't like him, his style of recruiting, where it's just bam, 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 it is rapid fire in recruiting somebody. And, you know, he's trying to flip kids. And there are plenty of players in Minnesota that get flipped.
Yeah.
Is, I think coaches look at him and go, I really don't think he's a coach. I think he's a motivator. I think he's a TED Talk guy.
He's a CEO.
Yes, a CEO, not a down in the trenches, X's and O's guy is gonna out-coach you. I think people that lose to Minnesota with Fleck there are ticked off at themselves because they lost to a guy that is more known as a motivator than an X's and O guy. And I know that would drive coaches batty. If I lose to a coach and he's a good X's and O guy and he beat me there, I got you. But if you beat me because you do a better job of motivating your team than I do, man, I mean, you need to look in the mirror as the team that lost that. But I think that's what drives people nuts.
Got beat in the by coaching, a used car salesman.
In the coaching industry. Jeez, I didn't get beat. I got beat by a guy that's selling snake oil. Mm-hmm. Okay? He's selling timeshares in Minneapolis telling the people that it's going to be sunny and 75 year-round. But it's just the weird dynamic of how he weaves his way getting in underneath people's skin. I'm sure even in the Nebraska fan base, people might get triggered the fact that they are wearing the Goldie Gopher helmets tomorrow. The big Goldie Gopher is on the side of the helmet tomorrow. You know, they're going with the all maroon and the bright gold helmet that has the mascot, the big cartoon-looking mascot on the side of the helmet. But regardless of whoever is on the other sideline and however that team that PJ Fleck runs is playing, Nebraska must win the football game tomorrow. They must win the football game. We will spend the next couple of hours breaking down how are they going to do that. And if you've heard by now or you have not heard, the Nebraska football program has a heavy heart this morning and moving into this weekend. Eric Chenander, the defensive coordinator for Nebraska, lost his father, Gene, at the age of 69. He was involved in an auto accident over in Iowa. No official statement from the athletic department as of yet on what Chenander will do tomorrow, whether he will be in the box coaching or if he will leave the team to spend time with his family. regardless, you know that the love, especially his defensive players have for him, that there's a big old arm that is open for their defensive coordinator, and Nebraska will handle this appropriately. And I think probably Eric Chenander will say, my dad was a coach. My dad knows that I love to coach. My dad would want me to be in the booth coaching tomorrow. So it's going to be an emotional day for Nebraska after the loss of Chenander in Iowa yesterday. All right, 10:47. Brian Munson, Brian Christopherson in the next hour. We'll go around the world of college football. Halfway through the season, not only the games that are on the docket, the Big 12 has a nice little slate on the weekend. So does the SEC. Some interesting games in the Big Ten. Michigan State, Indiana is probably the headliner. But Brett's kind of preseason or midway season, players of the year. Tough to find. Think about this for a moment in the Big Ten. Halfway through the year, in the Big Ten, who is the player of the year? Is the best two players in the Big Ten this year a running back at Michigan State and a center at Iowa? Who would be the midseason player of the year in the Big Ten? Adrian Martinez would get some run as well. All right, 10:48, off and run on a Football Friday Fiesta. There's Josh. I'm Gary. It's the Gary Sharp Show on 1620 The Zone. The weekend of NFL football is off and running. Hopefully you had a chance last night to win with a same-game parlay. If you locked in on the Buccaneers and the Eagles, well, FanDuel Sportsbook wants you to get the most out of every play. They're giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet every week. So if you missed last night, you got Sunday and Monday to take care of putting something together with the same game parlay bet with three legs or more. And if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel is going to pay you back up to $10. Pretty easy. Look at the great slate of games this weekend, including the Chargers and the Ravens. Lots of yards, lots of passing yards, lots of rushing yards, lots of points. Put a same game parlay together, three legs or more, and you can nail it. And there is no feeling like nailing a same-game parlay bet. So lock in your bet today on FanDuel Sportsbook and get up to $10 back if your bet doesn't win. Now, if you're new to FanDuel Sportsbook, just sign up today with promo code Gary162, and you'll receive 30-1 enhanced odds on the matchups. Win $150 on a $5 bet. That's promo code Gary162 so they know I sent you. 21 over, present Iowa. Refund issues, non-withdrawable site credit expires in 7 days. Maximum refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile and web. Gambling problem, call 1-800-BETS-OFF.